Now, I hope you have some handouts for this evening. One of the reasons why we have handouts on a Wednesday night, not just to keep you awake, though that's one reason, on a midweek prayer meeting in the evening, but also so that you can put them in your folders and file them away and have a resource to look back to. Because when it comes to the parables in particular, how many of you are like me, you've read them before and thought, I wonder what that means. Have I really understood what I think it says? And I hope you're like me also, you've been enjoying this series in understanding the Word of God, because remember, these are mysteries, but they are given for us to understand. Remember, there were those that had no idea what it said, but that's not for the child of God. So let's look at this evening's parable in the book of Matthew chapter number 22. Turn with me in your Bibles there, Matthew chapter 22. And we are looking at the parable of the marriage of the king's son, the marriage feast. Matthew chapter number 22. And we'll read from verses 1 to 14. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 1 to 14. And verse 1 says, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for what you will speak to us about this evening. Lord, help us to understand the Word of God, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and lead us into all truth that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, notice how the Lord begins, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Now remember, we're continuing on. The audience is the same. The religious Jews are surrounding the Lord. They're questioning his authority. The Lord is getting closer and closer to the cross. And the Lord once again speaks forth another parable. And these, as it has been said, these parables are the greatest stories ever told. You can watch movies, you can see things on the internet, but the parables of God are the greatest stories ever told. They're stories used to teach an important spiritual truth. And here we see the story of a wedding. A wedding, the king is hosting a wedding for his son, and many are invited to that wedding. Well, let's have a look at this parable. Let's learn some things. First of all, Roman numeral number one, the interpretation of the parable. The interpretation of the parable. Let's understand who are these different groups that are represented here in this parable? Well, notice in verse 2, the Bible says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Now, this parable is yes, a made-up story to illustrate a truth, but the story is very close to the truth. It speaks of an event described as a marriage. And what this parable is speaking of is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's return, a marriage for his son, the bridegroom coming for his bride. And you know, in the New Testament alone, there are 300 references in the 27 books to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He will return for his own. Now imagine if you were driving down the highway and every kilometer, imagine if that highway was 27 kilometers long, and imagine every kilometer there was a signpost that said, "The Lord is coming again." You drove another kilometer, "The Lord is coming again." How many of you would realize by the end of the road you get the message? Amen. The Lord is coming. Throughout the New Testament, it's filled with the promise of Christ's return. In fact, 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. 90% of that 1/3 has come to pass. The only ones left are those which are in the future. The next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture to take away his bride. And here we see a marriage taking place. We know that in the Bible there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. As we heard in the prophetic meetings, there is the marriage of the Lamb. And this is a prophetic event that will take place. Now, who is this king? Well, we know that the king, like the other parables, represents God the Father. The Son obviously represents who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the invitation is given. Now, who is the invitation given to, first and foremost? The nation of Israel. That's whom the Lord is dealing with, these religious Jews, and of course, the nation of Israel overall, who are invited to come. But what does the Bible say? They would not. They would not come. The servants that go out to tell those to come are the messengers, the prophets, the preachers, the witnesses. Verse 3 says that they would not come. That represents the nation of Israel. And as we went through last Wednesday night, they beat them, they slew them, they mocked them here in this parable, verse 5, but they made light of it. They mocked those servants. They said, "You've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous." Isn't that what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ? "You are not a prophet. You have no authority to come to the temple." And yet this was the very one that the temple was built for, to represent. Everything in the temple points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they say, "You have no right to enter the temple." How greatly they made light of who the Lord was, how they rejected him, paid no attention. They made every excuse not to come. Verse 6, we see the persecution of the servants, like we saw last Wednesday night. Every witness is persecuted for their faith by those who do not believe. Verse 7, notice what the Bible says, "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." And I wonder if this refers to what the Lord prophesied, the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in 70 AD. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Israelites were dispersed throughout the world until the Lord wonderfully brought them back into the land, as we've seen in prophecy fulfilled. "But he came unto his own, and his own received him not." This was another rebuke. And I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ spoke forth this parable just to make sure that the hearers understood that God did not treat them unfairly. Amen? They were a privileged people. They were meant to be his workers in the vineyard, but God didn't treat them unfairly because they were invited to come. But the choice not to come was their own. The choice not to come was their own. So we've learned a few things regarding the interpretation of this parable. Who are these different ones, these different groups? Notice Roman numeral number 2, the invitation of the parable. The invitation of the parable. That's your next blank, the word invitation. Look at verse number 8. So the nation of Israel rejected the Messiah, the invitation, if you will. Verse 8, then saith he, the king, to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. The word worthy means that they, not that they didn't do enough, but they rejected the offer. They were not worthy to come because they did not accept the offer. Obviously, they rejected it. Notice verse number 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now, the word highways describes the roads that connect different nations, different provinces. And we know that during Christ's ministry on earth, it was a pivotal point in history. Remember the Roman Empire, what were they famous for when it came to their roads? If you've learned a little bit about history, you'll know that the Roman Empire was renowned for connecting the world. Amazingly refined paved roads. Not only were the roads paved, but they were secure. They were protected by Roman bodyguards, literally, making sure that those who travelled safely, those who travelled on those roads would receive safe passage, and the known world was connected, the perfect time in history for the gospel to be sent out into the world. And you see, that's what this verse represents. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ said to his people, us, the church, Christians, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? You see, the nation of Israel as a whole has rejected it, but you see, there were others that will receive it. So he said to his servants, go into the world and preach. Go into the world and witness. Go out from this place to the rest of the world. And that's the message that we are to sound out today. Amen. The message of invitation. Whosoever will may come. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting. Will you come to him? Will you receive him as your Savior? For God so loved the world. Go ye therefore into the highways, the king said. And we understand this is an invitation to salvation. That's the invitation we are to give out. Will you come to Christ? Will you come and be saved? God sent his Son. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day. If you want to have your sins forgiven before you die, be sure you don't wait until it's too late. Amen. Christ has died. The invitation is given. Will you receive the invitation? Thank God he invites all to come. Amen. He invites all to come. Notice verse number 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, the Bible doesn't say there were some that were good enough to come to the wedding, and there were some that weren't good enough, but that means everyone was invited. Everyone. Those who were the worst kind of criminals, to those who were just criminals on the inside but looked good on the outside. Those who were very outwardly wicked, and those who were perhaps less wicked. Remember, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All were invited to come, and I hope you're thankful for that this evening. Amen. Thank God for his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. But can you see what the parable is teaching us? Something very wonderful. Do you realize that everyone is invited to the king's table to feast with the king? Everyone's invited to come, but they need to respond to the invitation. Now, for those of us, you and I, who have been saved, what a wonderful joy in knowing that one day we will sit down with the king. Amen. We will dine with the Lord. We will be in his very presence. We are his children. He is the King of Kings, but he is God the Father, our heavenly Father. Amen. Heard a story about a king that was holding a very important meeting with his servants, and they were in very intense discussions. Suddenly the door burst open and this young child ran in, and one of the chancellors stood up and he said, "Stop that child before he gets any further. He's disturbing the meeting." And this young child kept running, and he said to this chancellor, he said, "You know, that might be your king, But that man is my father. And he jumped into his father's arms. You know, if we are saved, we have a heavenly father. He is our king and he is our father. The word father is a name of love beyond our imagination. Amen. We have the wonderful joy of knowing, having accepted the invitation of salvation, we are his children. We will dine with him one day. But we're also to be his servants, aren't we? We're to take the gospel out. You might say, Pastor, lots of people reject it. Isn't that what this parable is saying? You know, the Israelites did reject it, and people still mock Christ today. People still mock us for telling them the gospel. It's just a reality of the Christian life. People will make light of it. People will claim that you and I are fools for living for the Lord. But if we are telling others, we will experience rejection. There were others that would just say, hey, I'm too busy. You know, isn't that what the parable says? Some went to their farms. Made excuses, all kinds of excuses, and said that they were too busy. People will reject you if you witness. But let me encourage you with this. See if you can see something special in verse number 10. So those servants went out, regardless of the rejection, amen, went out into the highways, gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, that includes you and I, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now remember, this is a prophetic event that will happen in the future, amen, the marriage of the Lamb. The wedding was furnished with guests. What does that mean? Not only will we be there, but many others will be there, amen. Some will reject, but we need to keep going into the highways and byways because the Bible prophesies there are still souls to be saved. There are still people out there that need to be saved. Don't be discouraged for those who make light of it. Amen. There's someone else around the corner that won't. Maybe they will the first time. Maybe they need to hear it again. Amen. Don't be discouraged. The invitation of the parable. We need to keep inviting folks to come to the Lord. Good to invite them to church. Amen. They can hear about the Lord here, but invite them to the Lord. That's the message of the gospel. Invite them to Christ. Now, the problem occurs when people come with hearing the invitation, but they don't come to Christ. That's what we see lastly, the intruder of the parable. The intruder. Now, this is a serious warning in the parable. Lastly, your blank is the word intruder. An interesting event takes place in verse 11. Oftentimes we read over this and wonder, what is the Lord talking about? Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, biblical manners and customs are important, and Brother Kevin Currell, he's writing a book on manners and customs. I'd love to see it. Hopefully he'll be finished. Maybe he can tell us when he comes. But learning about the manners and customs of the day really help us to understand what the Lord was saying. During biblical times, when there was a wedding, the host of the wedding gave out special wedding garments for the guests, invited guests to wear. In this case, the king had wedding garments prepared, and those who were invited were to wear those garments. They were sent the invitation, and they were given the garments if they accepted the invitation. So suddenly, someone turns up not wearing a wedding garment. They may have been invited, but they came under false pretenses. Now, before we continue, what does this wedding garment picture? There in your notes, I think I've put Isaiah 61 verse 10. Is that right? In grey? All right, let's look there together. Notice what the Bible says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with what? With the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. You see, the garment here in the parable is the garment of righteousness. When someone accepts Christ as their Savior through the invitation of the gospel, upon that point of receiving Christ, repenting of their sins, putting their faith in the Lord, they receive a garment of righteousness. It's not their own. It's from the Lord. It's Christ's righteousness being applied to our soul for all eternity. We are unjust. He is just. He paid for our sins. We are condemned. When we receive Christ, we receive His righteousness. We are made holy in God's eyes because His righteousness is upon us. What a miracle. But what an insult when this one turns up not wearing the wedding garment. It would be like us having perhaps a wedding one day, amen, and invitations are given out, people are invited, and someone walks in the back door, they see something going on, they're wearing their stubbies and thongs and a tank top, and they walk in, and they don't care who's getting married, they just want to have a feed afterwards, you know? Now see, this is what was happening here. There was an intruder here that was not wearing a wedding garment. They were still dead in their sins, spiritually lost, without Christ. But they came. Now, isn't that interesting? They came, but for not the right reasons. See, this man wasn't a guest. He was an intruder. When the king came in and he saw that this man had no wedding garment, there was a great consequence. And this is a serious warning in the Word of God. Notice verses 12 and 13 describe the questioning there in verse 12, and then obviously verse 13, what is that speaking of? Cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the description of the torment in hell. So this one was cast out, went to hell, because he didn't have on the garment of righteousness. He didn't receive the invitation, didn't accept Christ, but came anyway. This man was an intruder that came for a false reason. Now let me explain that by using a sad, sad wedding illustration. And we hear about this every week, it seems. Two people getting married, and you know it's absolutely sick and pathetic. I think at the beginning of the year, I heard a story about a 24-year-old model marrying an 87-year-old billionaire. You know, sometimes we laugh because it's that ridiculous. But a 24-year-old model marrying an 87-year-old billionaire, let me ask the question, is this young woman in love with a man that she intends to spend the rest of her life with? No. His life is over. He is 87. What does she want?
Money.
Amen. Oh, there was a wedding, all right. They were both there. She came, but what did she do? She came for the wrong reasons. She was after his money. She didn't want him. There are many people that claim to be Christians tonight. Now listen carefully. Many people that claim to be Christians tonight that say they are Christians, that say that they prayed to Christ, but they didn't want a Savior from sin, which is who Christ is. They wanted His riches. They want His blessings. They want a ticket to heaven. I want a ticket to heaven. So I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to save me. I don't want to go to hell. But the problem is, the invitation is for the Son. Amen. To come to the Son. So that you see, there are many people today that pray a prayer and are never saved because they just want heaven and do not realize that Christ, that heaven is the benefit, amen, but Christ is the bridegroom. We come to Christ for salvation. Thank God we have a home in heaven. That's the benefit. Now don't get confused here. You know, if you were convicted of your sin, you didn't want to go to hell, amen. Who wants to go to hell? No one. But the question is, did you call out to Christ to be your Savior from sin, or did you just want a home in heaven? You see, there are many people that pray a prayer, and yet you see their lives, and there's no garment of righteousness. You see, once we are saved, there'll be a desire for righteous living. There'll be a desire to live a purer, cleaner, less sinful life. Not because of a trying to earn your way to heaven, but because you've received Christ's righteousness and you love Him so much, you want to please the Lord. But so you see, there are many that claim to be Christians that just pray a prayer because they just want to go to heaven. They just want God's riches, His blessings. They just want things from God, but they don't want a Savior from sin. See, this one here at the wedding was an imposter, came under false pretenses. And the reality is that we need to understand that there are many out there that need to hear the gospel again. Amen? The right message. Sadly, in many emerging churches, what is preached? Come to a Christ which is not the Christ of the Bible. One that promises all these blessings. Amen, He will bless us. But I didn't call out to Him to save me because of my previous relationship problems and I hope He can find me a good wife this time round. I need the Lord. That's not why I prayed out to Him. That's not why I cried out to Him in desperation. I didn't call upon a Jesus who's got a wonderful plan for my life and everything I've done in the past is messed up, so I guess I better give my heart to Him now. He'll make everything right. What about my sin? What about the fact that I'm a wretched, condemned, insulting sinner in the eyes of God? You see, the greatest insult was for this one to turn up without the garment. Not saved, lost, condemned. He may have turned up, but he didn't want the gospel. Didn't want the Lord. He just wanted his own self-righteousness to prevail. That obviously pictures some of the Jews in their self-righteousness and also others. And if we have been saved, there will be a desire to live out a righteous life, to live out where we've got that garment of salvation and we want to please the Lord, the one that saved us. And we need to understand that there are many people out there just because they call themselves Christians doesn't mean they've understood the gospel. We need to continue to witness, to continue to ask the hard questions. What happened when you were saved? You know, don't just say, oh, yes, I'm born again, I'm saved. Well, what happened? What did you believe? Did you believe you were going to hell before you? Oh, no, I was a pretty good person, actually. I thought I was always going to heaven, but just needed to make sure. Okay, well, that's not the gospel. They obviously didn't see themselves as a condemned sinner. We need to ask questions. Amen. We need to preach a clear message. Sometimes people can pray a prayer, but they haven't understood the message of salvation. So they just need to hear it again. Continue to hear it. Why do I preach the gospel every weekend? Because who knows who is here? The Lord's working in their heart, continuing to need to hear the gospel. I had to hear it many times before I got saved. I prayed many times before I got genuinely saved. And the penny dropped and I realized, it's me. I'm not good enough. There's nothing in my past that's worth that has helped me to get to heaven. I need to repent and be born again. The intruder in the parable, a very frightening and serious warning. The Lord said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done? And the Lord will say, what? He will say, depart from me. Ye that worketh iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. A stranger, an intruder, and not one that has received Christ. So three groups of people in the parable tonight. We can only be in one of them, of course. Those who are invited that have rejected the gospel. Those who are invited and are coming under false pretenses, have not been saved. Those who are invited have been saved and then go forth to tell others. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to tell others to go into the highways. Amen.